before I start Matthew chapter 5, let's turn there first. We're reading 33 to 37. I just want to make a clarification. I think it's important. I think last week, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. I just want to clarify something, lest people misunderstand. Okay? On the message to Paul about divorce last week. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, just want a clarification there. The Bible says, in verse 32, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery." Okay, in the week, someone actually messaged me and asked, "Pastor, are you saying that if a man initiates divorce, in our context, or a woman initiates divorce, this man caused that lady to actually sin?" Does that make sense? Actually, that lady didn't do anything. It's just this man initiated the divorce. And so, does it mean that that lady actually sinned? All right, and the answer is no. But it makes the lady more prone, or rather more open to sin, because someone who marries her causes her to sin, and of course the guy sinned too. Does that make sense? It puts the lady in a position. In the Jewish law, the lady usually remarries, okay? But in the new covenant, God wants us to realize marriage is permanent. All right, and here I just want to clarify that it doesn't mean that lady or the man who has been put away is in sin, but this guy who initiates divorce, and sometimes, many times, I don't know all the situations involved, many times because of the pain, because of whatever that happened, a person may initiate divorce, the person is actually sinning against God, that's according to the scriptures, but it doesn't mean that he causes this person to sin if this person didn't want a divorce, okay? But it makes the person more open to sin. Because when you marry the next one, you sin. You're an adulterer, all right? It's very clear. I'm going to clarify that so that there'll be no misunderstanding. But now let's turn to verse 33 to 37. We'll be moving forward in one of the others Jesus' teaching. Let's stand as we read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. We'll be reading it together. Today we're dealing with the disciple and his word. His word. His word of honor, his word of promise. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Let's read together, all right? Ready? 1, 2, begin. "Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly. We are so grateful for the blessed salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, without you initiating your love by coming down to sinful men, there is no way, Lord, we can ever come back to you. But you did it, and we are thankful. So, Lord, we ask you, as you have saved us and given us your Holy Spirit, we ask you to, by your Holy Spirit, teach us your will for us today. We know, Lord, that when we get saved, the salvation affects every part of our lives. And today, Lord, we're going to look at what Jesus taught about our promises in our word. Help us, Father, to be Christians of honor, Christians who put you first, and Christians who want to live like Christ. Oh Lord, strengthen us to be more like you, so that we can reach someone else who may need you with the gospel. Thank you. Help us to be true disciples of Christ. Help us to understand your work now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, in verse 33, looking at that, "Again ye have heard," Matthew 5, 33, "again ye have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself," okay? "But thou shalt perform the Lord thine oath." Jesus was referring once again to the old teaching of the rabbis, or rather the teaching that has been taught currently by the rabbis in this time, okay? Just imagine yourself in the Jewish culture in first century, when Jesus was present, and Jesus was telling these guys, "You guys have heard the rabbis in the synagogue telling you that you are not to swear falsely. The word for swear thyself simply means to swear falsely. That means you say, oh, I tell God that I'm going to do this, but I don't do it. Okay? The rabbi says, look, it's very clear. When you say something to God, you better keep it. That's what he says. All right? That's what the rabbis taught. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, for some of you, you can refer to the verse, or you want to turn there. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. So in the book of the law, the rabbis reminded the Jewish people, when you make a promise to God, you better keep it. Okay? Is that true? The principle is this. When you make a promise to God, you are to keep the promise. And that is a very, very straightforward thing. Because it's to God, it's a serious thing to break the promises you make to God. It's a very serious thing. The problem is this. You know, in the Jewish culture, the rabbis, Jesus loved them, but Jesus hated the way they live. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus loved them, but the Pharisees and the religious leaders were such hypocrites and false teachers that the Lord Jesus was so concerned for those people who didn't study, who don't understand. Because the common people will just listen to the Pharisees and think that the Pharisees, what the Pharisees say is right. Okay? So, the Lord Jesus, there was a problem. The rabbis taught that all vows made in the name of God is binding. All vows, okay? But there's one problem in the Jewish faith. Every Jew is not allowed to mention the name Jehovah. You cannot mention Jehovah. In fact, when the Jewish scribes write and copy the Old Testament, every time they come to the name of Jehovah, before they write Jehovah, you know what they will do? They'll put their pen down and they will go and take a shower. They will change their clothing. They will change the pen. They will change the ink before they write the name Jehovah. Because to the Jewish mind, the name Jehovah is so sacred that they will not write the name Jehovah God in the Jewish culture before they clean themselves. Brother Jody, does that mean that every time there's a name Jehovah, they do that? Yes. So in one sentence, if the word Jehovah appears three times, they're going to go three times and bathe. And it's something that they did willingly. Why? Because they knew that God's name is so important, it's so sacred, they're willing to do that. Okay, so everything, all right, they're not supposed to mention the name Jehovah. So how do they actually make promises in the name of Jehovah? So they have what we call substitutions for the name. For example, they may say, oh, I swear in the name of the Most High. I never mentioned Jehovah. But the name of the Most High refers to God. Oh, I swear in the name of the Holy One of Israel. I didn't mention Jehovah, but the Holy One of Israel is very clearly God, okay? And according to, I was just doing some research and all that, about 34 acceptable phrases that the Jewish rabbis came up with. There were only certain substitutions that can be accepted in the Jewish Talmud today. It's called the Kinonim, whereby these are the lists that you can use to make any swearing. The problem was that rabbis came up with these 34 acceptable phrases, which means if you swear but didn't use these 34, your word is not binding. You can break that promise anytime you want. Can you see the problem now? So as long as I make a promise but I don't use those 34 phrases, I'm free. I'm free. Okay? And so, when I say things like I swear by earth, or I swear by Jerusalem, or I swear by my head, or I swear by my grandmother's grave, or something like that, which some people still do in the Western culture. I swear by Jerusalem. I can break that promise anytime. And the oath is therefore allowed to be broken without being penalized because you didn't use those sequence or the acceptable phrases. use something else, okay? So a person can actually technically say, I can still promise, like, as a pastor, I promise you, you know, by this pulpit. But actually, this pulpit can do nothing. I can promise you anything. As long as I don't say the name of Christ or God or heaven, it is not binding. You know what's the problem with that? In modern day society, there are many people who will come to church and make their promises, and they will fulfill those promises. That's fine. But when they go out into normal human relationships to break a promise, there's no problem. Oh, I'll meet you at 6:30 p.m. 6:29, you receive SMS, sorry, I cannot make it. Without as much as giving a reason. This is what Jesus was dealing with. He's saying that you are Christians now. Remember, Sermon on the Mount deals with the righteousness of Christ as a believer of Christ. As a believer of Christ, our word need to be as righteous as who Jesus is. I want you to learn three truths from this passage. Number one, God wants us to be truthful in all our dealings in life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 34, okay? Matthew 34. What the Jewish people started to do was they started, I swear by earth. I swear by heaven. I swear by Jerusalem. But all these have no connotation with God, and so therefore they think they can be absolved. You know what Jesus said? He said in verse 34, but I say unto you, the rabbi said this, they are the earthly teachers of God's law. But Jesus says, but I'm saying to you, this is what the earthly teachers are saying to you, and what they have done is they kind of compartmentalized God's law into this, but I'm telling you the real deal. I'm telling you what God intended in the first place. And so, Jesus went on to say in verse 34, swear not at all. Swear not at all. Neither by heaven. Why? Jesus gave the reason. Because it's God's throne. You can say you swear by heaven and say there's no connotation. Jesus says, no. If you swear by heaven, God is there. Heaven belongs to God. Okay? And then he says, swear not by earth. Why? Because it is God's footstool. God is there. And swear not by Jerusalem. For it is a city of great king. You know what Jesus is trying to say? If you think that you swear by heaven and earth and Jerusalem, and you think God is not there, you're wrong. The entire thing belongs to God. You know what God is saying? Well, you know, Jesus is saying this. When you say something out of your mouth, it is God's will that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are truthful in all our dealings. And after, I'll give you some of the things that modern-day Singaporeans do. But we have to be truthful. We have to be right. We have to be truthful. And so, all our promises, official or even in private, are binding before the Lord. Are binding. Now, I'm not saying that, let's say if at 6:29 you come for the appointment, you really cannot come because you were doing your e-scooter and you got hit by another e-scooter. Hey, sorry, I cannot come. I'm in an accident, I cannot e-scooter. I was coming for the appointment, I cannot e-scooter, and another e-scooter hit me. You cannot make it for the appointment. That's quite obvious. I'm sure your friend on the other side say, oh, are you okay or not? Versus someone who just SMS you, sorry, I cannot make it, without actually giving a reason. Won't you feel frustrated? Yeah, I wait here at 6:30. You say, then you didn't now come last minute. You tell me, what am I supposed to do? You know, there are many, many of this happening. Would you agree with me? That is what Jesus is dealing with. The righteousness of Christ, when we become a Christian, means that even meeting at 6:30, I will still say, I'll come as a Christian. Okay? There is no secular life or spiritual life. All are spiritual before God. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian first. In other words, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian pastor, but I'm a Christian first. If my life is not right with God, there is no blessing on this work. Because I'm a Christian first. If I go to work, I'm a worker at work. Worker at work. I'm actually a Christian first, then I'm a worker. And because I'm a Christian worker, my work actually needs to be better. Agree? Because you're a Christian. Because our employers pay us, and we need to be truthful to our work. As a Christian, we need to. By the way, do you know it is God paying you through that employer? That's what the Bible teaches, if you're a Christian. And so what do we do? Servants, obey your masters in the flesh, because you're actually obeying your heavenly Father, right? Right, so that's what Jesus was referring to. Let's turn to Psalm 15. Now, give you the fact that the rabbis were not actually teaching what God wanted them to teach. Because in the Old Testament, God had already told them these things. As you are reading, I'll just read a comment I have. Verse 34 to verse 36 are verses that reflect that although the Jews say that these are not valid, Jesus says that all your promises are equally valid. Because you cannot say, I swear by this, or technically I say this, but I didn't really mean this. You know, there's a lot of people today playing with semantics. You know what semantics? Semantics means, okay, this is a good one. If the rabbis taught, if you swear by Jerusalem, it is not binding. But if you say you swear toward Jerusalem, it's binding. You know what that is? That's semantics. If the rabbi say, if you swear by Jerusalem, it's not binding, but if you say you swear toward Jerusalem, it's binding, because you're towards Jerusalem. It's kind of like the Muslims, when they pray towards Mecca, it means something. Okay, but if you swear to the Muslim, they have to do that. But the rabbis taught that if you swear by Jerusalem, it doesn't mean anything, but you swear towards Jerusalem, it means something. Okay, you read the Talmud, the Jewish writings, you'll find that the rabbis were teaching this. Jesus says, no, you're binding both ways. Because the key is not in what you say, it's what your heart means. How many of you have this situation that you made promises before that you did not intend to keep? I know I'm touching a bit closer to your heart, closer to my heart too. Sometimes I say, okay lah. But actually your heart is like, I don't want lah. You know what I'm saying? This is what Jesus was dealing with. He wants us to be truthful. In Psalm 15, verse 1, let's read. David asked, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who's the one who will stay with you, Lord? Who are the acceptable people who will stay in your presence, in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Notice, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth where? Read your Bibles. Speaketh the truth where? Speaketh the truth where? In his heart. Because you see, God's not interested in what we say. He's interested in what your heart, how your heart is when you say it. That's true righteousness. You know, parents, when we look at our children, children say, okay, I'll do it. In your mind, you're thinking, nah, she doesn't want to do it, right? Yes, I mean, these are very common, right? Now you know why children are sinners. Our children, I'm not just saying you, huh? We are sinners too. And sometimes adults are bigger sinners. Okay, there was one story, I tell you this story, this thing. There was this little girl. The background is that this church was facing a split. And everyone was angry with one another. To the point that they didn't want to go to church anymore. No one was in church because everyone was fighting with one another. And then this little girl, about 8 years old, looked at dad and said, Dad, why is everyone so stubborn? Why are all the adults so stubborn? Why can't they just get along? Dad said it was quite interesting. You know what? They're stubborn because they have lots of practice. The adults has lots of practice. It means their whole life they've been stubborn. They have lots of practice. Okay? children, hopefully you reach our age, you won't be so stubborn, all right? So I just want to kind of balance that a bit. But here God says he wants to hear truth in your hearts. You see, you know, if you're not a Christian, there is no way you're going to have truth in your heart. Because the Bible says, ye are of the father the devil, John 8:44. That's the truth of God's word. You know, men without Jesus Christ always want to protect themselves first. That's why lying comes about. That's why I give two parts to a story. That's why I tell you one part, I don't tell you the next part. For the Christian, I'll tell you the whole deal. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I wouldn't say, I'm wrong, but you also, that. You were the one who initiated. You were the... Have you done that before? It's you! You know, it's never me. You know why? That's a sinful heart. But Jesus wants us to be truthful inside. Wants us to be truthful inside. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Right? That's in Psalm 15. I want you to notice as you go along in verse number 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Notice this, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. I'll give you an illustration. I go to this man, sir, how much will you charge for your bag? Give me the highest price. This bag. Okay, I want to buy this bag. Okay? He wants $1,000. What? Sing, rupiah, or peso? Ringgit. Okay, it's quite nice. 1,000 ringgit. Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, so I say, okay, I give him the promise, I buy. Okay, 1,000 ringgit. Okay? And then I buy it ready, and then I go to this lovely lady who's my wife. Okay? I see. Then she says, no, she's not. No, at this point, she's not my wife. Okay? She's a seller of another bag. Okay? Same type. Say, how much? Then, you know, Singaporeans are there. You buy 100 ringgit. You buy already, you go to another place. You want to check out whether or not you got a good deal, right? So I ask her, how much is that bag? She went, 500. Or 500 rupiahs? Ringgit. What? Okay? What will a Singaporean do? Hey, I think your color not very nice already, this one. I don't want to. Can I have my refund? And then I take the refund. I'm not insinuating. This is what we have done before. Or rather, I have done this before. When I've done that, to be clear, you know, it's so convicting. The Bible says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. It means that if I committed 1,000 ringgit to him and I find a cheaper price, I have made a promise to pay for it. I paid for it. He that sweareth to his own hurt, I'm hurt by 500 ringgit here, and changeth not. And say, well, I'm a man of my word. I pay you 1,000 ringgit. She only charges 500. Next time, I'm not buying from you. But I will not go back and change. That's what Psalm 15 verse 4 means. You know why we need to do that? Because we don't want to lose. And as a result of this hard desire that say, hey, Singaporeans always want the cheaper one and the good one. But Jesus says, you may want it, but you're still truthful in your heart. That means you are not a man of your words. If I were to give it back, take me $1,000 and change, it's very obvious my intention. I want a better deal, right? But I've cheated him. I'm not a man of my words. Such a person in the kingdom of God cannot be trusted. Oh, that's hard. That's hard because humans always want the best, eh? IPIT, you know, in Singapore we say, we want it cheap and we want it good. And so when we lose out, we always want to. But God wants us to learn to be truthful in the heart. Even though you may have lost some, in order to be a man of your word, you say, that's fine, I made a decision. You know what? That's what Jesus wants us to grow to become, men of our words. A disciple needs to be a man of his word. You know why? Because we have put on the righteousness of Christ. We are not the old man. The old Singaporean I'm not saying Singaporean, I can say anyone in the world, okay? There's the old man in the flesh, the old man in the flesh. Before I was a Christian, I would behave like this. But after I put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, Jesus says, no, you don't do this anymore. That's being untruthful. You are not a man of your words. And God wants us to learn that sometimes we may commit, and then you are to stick with that commitment, even though it will cost you. I had a friend who bought a house for $500,000. Okay? He found another one, same one, $380,000. He encouraged me and said, well, I made a decision, that's it. He was a man of his words. You know, what if you make a loss like that? Would you actually do all you can so that you can get a better deal? We need to be careful. I'm not saying in some situation, I mean, if the person cheat you, that's a different thing. I mean, he started to cheat me in the first place. The thing was supposed to be $10, he charged $1,000, that kind of thing. Hey, how much are you supposed to... I don't think that it's wrong to actually ask him why. I know if I pay and he refuses to budge, there's nothing you can do. You go to the court of law, you say, the police will tell you, you already agreed to pay. There's nothing you can do. You've already given him the money, everything is settled, there's no black and white or whatever. But here Jesus is just teaching us that sometimes when we give our word, that word should be as good as true. Why? Because we have put on the righteousness of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. These are the righteousness of Christ. And without the Spirit's help, we are not able to do that. We need God. We need God to be with us, to teach us this. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, the Bible says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That means, I'll just use this word, this is the old man. The old man means I'm not a Christian. I have everything is relative to me. I am accountable to no one but myself. Okay? And that's the old man. And whatever I do is to suit myself. But after I become a Christian, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, here, cheating is not acceptable with God. That goes against his righteousness and true holiness. In other words, God says, if you have agreed, that should be as good as your word of honor. All right? So that's true holiness, because we are Christians. That's why in verse 25, therefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be truthful. Okay? Because we are members one of another. The last part of that verse 25 refers to the church. You know, as members of Ambassador, as Christians, we need to be truthful to one another, not try to hide things. You know why? Because if I tell you a lie, I hurt the body of Christ. Because there's one part of darkness in the body of Christ. I need to be open with you. Say, sorry, I really cannot help you this time because my knee is really painful. I can't. And so the brother said, okay, never mind, you take care of yourself, we'll find other help. But if my mind is saying, oh, that person now want me to help. Why, you want me to... Then you say, hey, sorry, I cannot help you because I give an excuse. That's not truthful. We need to be very careful. We need to speak truth. Why? Understand this. When you lie to, when we start lying to one another, not that we are doing, but when there's lying happening, I think some of us may also understand this because like in our families and we know there's some lying going on, you know, it really hurts the family, doesn't it? Does it not? It hurts the organized. If you work in a workplace and you know someone is not telling the truth in the organization, it's like, it's hurting everyone. Jesus wants us to be truthful. All right? What's point number one? Number two, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, our word should be good enough. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Let me just give you some of these things that I mentioned before. What I say, what I really mean. Okay? Let's say your friend come and ask you, hey, so-and-so is having this party, you know. I'd like you to come. You got an invitation. And what the person say is, oh, I got something on. What the person really mean is, I don't really want to come. So we say, I got something on. Now I've been in situations where people tell me I got something on, actually they got nothing on. And then when you call them, eh, I thought you got something on. I say I got something on, but I don't really want to come. And other ones will say, I try. In Singapore, when someone says, I try, generally they are not coming. If you say you don't want to come, just say you don't want to come. Be truthful. Or this will hit every one of us, including myself. Sometimes also it's tempting because you don't want to hurt this person's feelings. Right? Do you realize that being truthful is more helpful to that person? The person at least knows where, okay, I don't expect you. Christians, we're all in that category. Jesus wants our righteousness to be his righteousness. Let your yes be yes, no, no. That's what Jesus said. But brother Johnny, if I say I don't come, it will hurt his feelings. Then you need to ask why you don't want to go. Because really there may be issues that you have to deal with. See first. Can you come? See first. You know what he's really saying? I see how I feel at the moment whether I want to come or not. Well, this one is a bit convicting and we will throw eggs later on. Okay, in an argument, when I presented my side, the other person presented, okay lah, it's up to you. You decide. You know what you're really saying? I've already decided and you should know what you should do. In an argument, you may say, it's not you. In an argument, in order to win, you say, okay lah, it's all my fault lah. Actually, what you're saying is your fault. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know why I'm bringing all these nuances? Singaporeans are so good today at covering up. You're not truthful. That's why they're sometimes so hard to fellowship. I'm not saying here. I'm saying in general, when we deal with people, don't you feel that sometimes? You know what Jesus is saying? Yes, yes, no, no. Yes, yes, no, no. Oh, that's hard. That requires us to really ask the Holy Spirit to change us and say, Lord, help me to be so honest that my yes is a yes, my no is a no. You know what? That's Jesus. He's very clear. It's a yes, yes, no, no. Brother Johnny, does that mean that I cannot say depends? No, I'm not saying that. I think if it depends, you need to actually at least give that person an explanation. You know, it depends because I'm really sick. I'm not too sure whether I can make it. Let your yes be yes and no, no. One way you can overcome it, so at this point in time, just treat it as if I'm not coming. So I'll see what I can do to arrange my assignment, but just treat it. There are ways that you can be honest and explain to that person. But Jesus wants us to be honest. Don't have the attitude whereby you just expect the other person to accept it. And that's where the hindrance comes. And Jesus, our Savior, comes to reconcile us, not to break us up. Lying and dishonesty breaks people up. Would you agree with that? Lying and dishonesty actually breaks people up. Children in your families, be truthful with your parents, where you go, what you do, what you see on the internet. Because your parents are concerned for you. If you don't tell your parents what you see, and then you start to make decisions that is not in line with God's word, what happens? You break up the family. That's exactly what the devil wants. You know, can you see the relevance of what Jesus is saying? Be truthful. Okay? I'm not scolding you. That's my tone. But God wants us to be truthful. Husband and wives, be truthful. Just tell her what you mean and mean what you tell her. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, let me just read. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Apostle Peter was encouraging the Christians, look, no point trying to hide. Just be as honest as you can in your dealings, in your interaction, and everything that you do, so that they may say bad things about you. But when Jesus Christ comes back, they got nothing bad to say about you because you were honest and you were truthful in your dealings. All right, point number three, last one. Anything other than a clear yes or no sin. That's what Jesus says. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Let me put it in context. Jesus was actually dealing with these rabbis and these common people who think, just as long as I don't swear in the name of God, I can break my promise anytime. Jesus says, no. If you do that, if you swear by Jerusalem and think that you can get away with it, it is still sin. In modern day context, if for us to say a yes may hurt the other person and we choose to move away, give him a vague answer, according to the Lord in this verse, you are moving away from the straight and narrow, the truth that becomes evil. In other words, you're not telling the truth. But that's hard. But that's what God says. You know, as Christians, God wants us to be upright and truthful. Without the Holy Spirit's help, there is no way we can do that. Because it's much easier to tell a lie. It's much easier to tell a lie. I had a friend, she was a speech therapist, and because of some situation in her life, she was supposed to be married to a man, and in the engagement, she found out that this guy was gay. This guy was gay. No pun intended. Okay. And of course, she broke off. And you know what? That was 10 years after that. She was 30 plus. I was only a young 22-year-old punk. You know? And she keeps wearing the ring. And she said, hey, you're not married. Why are you wearing the ring? Hey, people think you're married. You know what she said? Let them think I'm married. No? Let them think I'm married. No? Maybe I'm not judging her. It could be that she just wants to protect herself. She's fed up with all this kind of... And she is someone who serves in the church, and because of this situation, she blamed God. No, that's another story, but she wants to wear this to deceive others. I mean, I know her personally as a friend, I mean, as a colleague, and now she's in Australia working, and she says, so, let the person think. As believers in Christ, the righteousness of Christ teaches us that we are to be truthful in all our dealings. When we know the right thing to do and we do something else, when we know it's right to tell the truth and we tell another story, when we know that we are supposed to report to our mom exactly or dad exactly what we are doing, when mom asks, what were you watching? And say, oh, nothing, that's a lie. You're not being truthful. When there's always an intention to hide, we are going below the righteousness of Christ. Rajani, it's so hard. You know, I'm not going to say it's easy because we're all humans. It is much easier for us to hide. That's what Adam and Eve did when she sinned. But you know what Jesus wants? When the light of Christ comes into our hearts and we are Christians, lying is not an option. Being untruthful is not an option anymore. Meaning, I know I would like to lie and get out of this, but I know I can't. You know, as a pastor, I have to tell people directly sometimes, you're doing this, right? That's wrong. You know, it's much easier for me as pastor to just close my eyes to all the wrong that's happening. Just carry on. Everyone happy? No, I can't. Because that wouldn't be right of me. And I don't think, as your pastor, you want me to be untruthful or to cover up, to be open. The Bible says anything other than a clear yes or no. For us, in modern day context, we may not be like the rabbis, but in some situations where you know or I know it's right to be honest, and where we choose to do something else other than what should be done, which is truthful, that's a sin before God. Because the Bible says anything for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Does it make sense? In James chapter 5, verse 12, which is our last verse, James repeats what Jesus says. And guess what? This James is the half-brother of Jesus. And he knew what his older brother said, and he remembered it. Not as his older brother, but James, when he wrote this, remembers his older brother as the Son of God. And he remembered what Jesus said, and he said this: above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and no no, lest he fall into condemnation. There was a repetition, and James wanted to remind us today. So how should we live? How should we live? Turn to Colossians chapter 6. Colossians chapter 4. There's no 6 chapters. Colossians chapter 4. And then I'll close with this. Colossians chapter 4. How should we live? Of course, firstly, make sure our yes is yes and our no, no. Don't try to disguise or say something else that we don't really mean. By the way, it does need practice. You need practice. You need a rewiring here. Interesting. You need a rewiring here. You know why? The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you're not conformed to this world. Don't follow the way the world does. Don't continue in your old ways whereby you keep telling fibs. You keep trying to change some things. But be renewed by the, but be changed by the renewal of your mind. You need to change your mind first. All right? In Colossians chapter 4, and verse 6, let's read together, all right? All of us, are there ready? 1, 2, go. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Okay? Let your speech, your saying, your word, be always with grace. Giving to that person what he does not deserve. That's what it means. All right? If that person is scolding you, for example, let your speech be always with grace. What do? If a person is scolding you, you may not say anything. Okay? If there's nothing good to say, don't say anything. That's a principle. If there's nothing good to say, don't say anything. Okay? Or you may say, if a person asks you, would you like to come? And you know, and in your mind, perhaps you have this intention. There's a few reasons why people don't want to go for whatever. Number one, I don't like the person. Number two, I don't have no time. Number three, it doesn't fit my purpose. Number four, sian. Okay? You know, as believers, for us, we need to actually identify what is our motivation when we say yes or no. Because if our motivation is say, I don't like you, that's why I'm not going, is that a right motivation? No. Jesus says to love one another. And so even your motivations need to come under the control of the righteousness of Christ. So what I'm saying is that when you give a report to someone else, you say yes or no, make sure you know what is the right answer for you. Okay, before the Lord. Because God says to give that answer with grace. With grace. Okay? Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, all the time, at all times. In other words, there is at no time that you should say something that will tear down another person. Okay, let me put it in perspective. If a person tries his best, say, you lousy good for nothing, is that with grace? No. Okay, if a person does something wrong, you lousy good for nothing, I don't have grace. But if a person does something wrong, and I say, I'm here to help you, which one has grace? The second one. I know you've done something wrong, but I'm here to help you. I say, no, I don't need your help. Well, really, then I'll be praying for you, that God will show you what is right. That's with grace. I'm not covering up his sin. I'm just saying, I'm here to help you. You see, the Lord came to earth on a rescue mission. Jesus didn't come to earth on a condemnation mission. He came in for a rescue mission. So as Christians, even the way we talk, the way we say yes or no, have to be according to his righteousness, okay? So that we can answer to every man. So that we know how to ought to answer to every man. No, believers, are your yes, yes, no, no? You know, as a Christian, you need to be truthful. Really truthful. I'll say this. Sometimes I know the truth, but I'm bound by principles that, for example, if someone shared with me certain things, I just tell you, sorry, I can't tell you that. I'll just be honest with you, I cannot tell you that. It's not your information for you. Just be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't like me, then it's not my problem, it's yours. Okay? And I don't feel that I need to, in order to keep your friendship, I tell you something that I'm not supposed to say. That will be untruthful on my part. You know, for believers, it's a yes, yes, no, no. Or is it half-hearted? Can I say this? After we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. what Jesus is teaching is he wants our character to be online in par with his character. And therefore, he was using it to deal with the rabbis. Well, for modern-day Singaporeans and Christians, not just Singaporeans, but Christians, he wants us to be truthful. And Christians, if we are truthful with one another and let God's Holy Spirit take control of our lives, I can tell you there's a lot of reconciliation that can take place. All right, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Lord, I pray as we hear the word of Jesus on yes, yes, no, no. Sometimes it is so hard because, Lord, well, in our sinful human nature, we want to hide. We want to make sure that people don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we will tell, we'll say things which is not what we say that, but we don't mean that. Lord, I'm not trying to accuse anyone, but I'm saying that's what the Lord, you taught us that the rabbis were saying that. And they were saying that we can get out of our normal promises as long as I have a reason. Heavenly Father, help us to realize that truthfulness is your reason for us. That you want us to be truthful in all our dealings. So Father, I pray from today onwards, teach us to be truthful. Help us, husband and wives, help us to be truthful to one another. And help us to learn to listen. Sometimes the truth can hurt, Lord, and we know that. But yet, help us to learn to listen. And then, Lord, with your wisdom and grace, help us always to be helping. Lord, I pray for one person whom you have touched or you have convicted about. I'm asking you, Lord, to do something in that person's life. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Just take 1 minute of your time. Just pray that. All right, by yourself, just pray that. There's certain things in your life that you know that, Lord, you just pinpointed an area of my life. Just pray and ask God to do something there. I don't know what your need is, but God does. All right, let's spend about that remaining 45 seconds just to pray. And then I'll just ask one more question. Father, thank you for the praying that the people are doing. I ask you, Lord, to give them the strength to overcome certain areas of their life and help them, Lord, to make very clear plans with you, Lord, to overcome the areas of their life they need to overcome. Let me just ask you one more question. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. Being truthful is not possible. Oh yeah, in our temporary life, we can be truthful. We have the ability to be truthful. But we need Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, to be in us so that we can have truthful lives. If you're not a Christian today, Brother Johnny, I don't understand any of this. I know that something is in my heart telling I need to find out more. We won't be forcing you. We just want to share with you what Jesus can do to wash away our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and untruthfulness, and put his righteousness in our lives. You say, Brother Johnny, I'm not a Christian, but I want to find out more about this Christ that you're talking about, what you just talked about, what he taught. There's someone like that. I won't embarrass you, I just want to see, I'll pray for you, get a brother, sister, to a sister, to share what God has for you. There's someone like that. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray once again for everyone who have prayed, the Lord, the truth of Christ will prevail in our lives. Father, you just want us, you taught us in your word to be truthful in all our dealings. And I'm asking you, Father, to teach us what it means to let our yes be yes and no, no. Oh yes, Lord, there will be situations where we really need your wisdom because we really want to keep the promise, but something cropped up. Help us to have grace and help us to be willing, Lord, to explain it. And Lord, help us who are on the receiving side to be willing to have grace and say it's okay and be able to help the person if need. Lord, that we will be able to fulfill, Lord, your word for us. Lord, as Christians, help us to be truthful. I pray for every young person, every teenager, every child, to be completely truthful to parents, Oh Lord, it's so important nowadays. The internet and all that is so easy to just hide. And just have passwords that will block people out. I pray you help us to be truthful then. We will be able to be living our lives open. There's nothing to hide. And Lord, I'm asking you to do a mighty work in every Christian, that we will truly be your disciples. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray you bless our fellowship together, and also as a result, also the biblical parenting time that we have. And I'm asking you, Lord, to fill us with your Spirit, that whatever we do and say, everything that we do, Lord, will honor you first. And we'll thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.